Welcome, Anna.
Hello, sir.
Welcome, Ming.
Hello.
Everyone's joining at the same time,
Okay.
which is good.
Yeah.
What time is in the US right now?
I'm sorry?
What time is that in US?
Welcome, Jenny. Anna, it's 12 noon. What time is it
Okay.
there?
9 p.m.
Okay, so you'll be going to sleep soon.
Couple of
But
hours.
after the call is over. Welcome, Mel.
Hey, how are you?
Great. How's everybody doing?
Good. Good.
Good. We're waiting for Nikki and Cynthia. Kia will not be joining us. She's on a plane right now to the Big Apple. Maybe she's coming to see you, Jenny.
Oh, wow. I wonder what she's doing here. Should ask her. Email her. I just listened to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to be driving and on mute most of the class.
Okay, well, participate when you can. We love your contributions, Mel.
Thanks. Yeah, I want to be there too. It's like, oh, I'm just balancing and I want to be here still, but I can't switch back and forth to change it.
Okay. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you.
We're just going to give Nikki about a minute and then we'll begin. Okay, well, in honor of our time, and I continue to go sometimes past our allotted time, I want to start promptly. So who would like to begin with a grounding? Anyone feeling called?
Okay,
With such enthusiasm.
I'm like, come on, someone. Okay.
Well, thank you for stepping in, especially because we missed you being with us last week.
I know, I really missed you guys too.
Welcome, Nikki.
Hi,
I'm just curious if you would like to ground us. If not, Jenny will do it.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Great. Thank you.
No problem. So, where are we starting now?
Anytime you're ready.
Sorry, I'm so sorry because I'm like, oh, maybe she was asking and other people are coming onto the call and I was going to start.
No, we're all
Okay, so
here. We're
I'm
waiting for
starting.
you.
Thank you.
We can't ground
Thanks.
without you.
Thanks, Sasha. Okay. So now that we're ready to ground, please find a comfortable seat. If that's not possible, just finding stillness. And taking a few moments to slow down our breathing. Really become aware of where we may be holding in our body, checking our jaw, throat, maybe eyebrows, just seeing if we can let go a little, settling in to the flow of our breath. And I'm starting to find a place of grounding, literally, whether it be the feet or the sit bones, that we might start to feel weight. And then as we feel that weight, that we might find a rebounding through the crown of the head, finding more length in the spine. Creating freedom through the body, spaciousness in the mind. Just letting our day go. Setting that to-do list off to the side. Starting to bring into focus the here and the now. The opportunity we have to learn, to hone a new skill. Taking one last deep breath in. This time opening in the mouth and just exhaling out fully. Sasha?
That was so beautiful. Thank you. I'm ready to practice on the mat. Oh, okay. All right, thanks everyone. So welcome. As I mentioned earlier, no Kia today. She's traveling on a plane to New York. And just a couple of logistics. I guess I miscommunicated with someone at CTA and that she sent out the exam like 2 weeks early. So no need to dive into that now. That was supposed to be sent out after the 11th week, which is after next week. But so just hang on to it, put it in a folder, keep it in your inbox, whatever, but there's no need to tackle that now. Also, in week 12, I'm so excited. I think I already shared this with you, but Dr. Dave, who's my mentor coach and just pretty much holds the CTA together, sent you a lot of his articles, and he's just a brilliant, wise sage. He is going to be joining us for the first hour in week 12, talking about the business model and some things that have worked for him. And he's just a brilliant mind, and I think you guys are going to really dig spending an hour with him. And then after that, we'll still go into our final Coach the Coach session for the last half an hour. So just to give you sort of an agenda for week 12. Okay, any questions on that? Awesome. So I would like to go around the group, and today, if you have a win to share from this past week, that's one piece of it. And the second piece is if you could share your experience of how your intuition serves you, both on and off the mat. We're going to be talking a lot about intuition on this call. And I just sort of want to launch into that by getting your mindset around that in sharing. It doesn't have to be a big, long, drawn-out story, but just some specifics maybe of how your intuition has served you. Who wants to begin?
Hello?
Who's feeling intuitive?
Hi, it's Jenny. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. I can start. So one win, and then how intuition serves us or has served us. Right.
Yes, in your experience, correct.
Okay. Well, it Minx is on the phone, right, Minx? Yes, I believe. Minx and I got, we had a little coaching call with each other over the weekend, and it was so amazing. And I, as a result of, you know, she coached me through some things that I've been really struggling with over the past couple of weeks with some work stuff. And as a result of the call and the, you know, the tools that we've been learning, it completely turned my head around. And I ended up taking this issue that was really making me angry and really making me very resentful. And I forget exactly what she said about it, but it's about work and it's about my company. And I was just like venting and ranting. And then she said something about, to the effects of like, well, you know, as a result of without even being very, being so subtle about it, she said, reminded me that as a result of where I work, I am where I am. And so I ended up making this like really long gratitude list, like just that night, of like all of the things that have happened as a result of being, you know, with my company. And it just kept going and going and going. And I realized like, oh, right. You know, so that was, and it has changed my entire outlook. So, that's a huge win. Thank you, Minx. I've been really excited about it. I sent this list to like four people that I know and they were like, wow. And I was like, this coaching thing is amazing. I had no idea what I'd get out of it. So that was great. The intuition thing is really interesting because something just happened this week. So I'm teaching I'm sorry I missed last week. I hate missing these sessions because I really am getting so much out of it. But I'm teaching an intensive, which is 9 to 6 every day. And right now it's a miracle that I had to pay Sarah Bell, who says hi to you, Minx, to go in and teach for me so I could be here. So that's how much I want to be here. I have this training, this group of 23 people. They're very... It's an intensive, which is it's a camp, like we're all together. It gets very crazy, and there's a lot of different personalities, and it's very challenging. So one of the things I've been trying to teach over the course of the 30 teacher trainings that I've taught, one of the things that I find the most challenging is to encourage people or convince people or teach them how to be themselves when they stand up and to not like read a list of points off, you know, and to not memorize something, but just to actually... So I was telling them, I was like, well, imagine like you're telling a story. Like you're up there and you're just telling a story, but you're telling the story of triangle pose, you know. And the next day, it just came to me intuitively as like we sat, I said, let's all sit down in a circle. Let's just play this game. And I had this tennis ball and I said, I'm going to tell you guys a story. It's going to be like, it's just a 2-minute story, nothing big. And I told the story about like something that happened when I was 8. And I said, okay, next, you know, and I threw the ball and they all started telling stories. And by the end, there were like about 3 or 4 people in, and I'm almost done with this. This one girl who's been a real pain in my ass. Like, she's just very, very, very confrontational and, like, always questioning me. And she's, like, 20. She's, like, 4 years old, you know. And she said to me, she kind of raised her hand, and she said, is there a point to this? Like, really, it was like, oh. It took me, like, a full 24 hours to recover from but anyway, what happened in the end was I handled that really well. At the end of it, they kind of understood, and they have changed the way they teach from that, I think, from that exercise, that they're just so much more natural, and, like, you're just getting up there and talking about something or just telling a different kind of story. It doesn't have to be, please be yourself. And anyway, it was just an intuitive thing to sit down and play this game, and it really worked, so...
Wow.
That's awesome.
So awesome. That is just a great example of using your intuition, and it served you in the end. And just send us a receipt. We'll reimburse you for paying Sarah for this call. Okay. I'm just kidding. All right. Who wants to go next? Thank you, Jenny.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
Okay, go ahead, Cynthia. Thank you.
I'm not sure that I have a story to tell, but speaking of intuition and how I use that in my day-to-day life, you know, just interacting with people that I work with, interacting with my family, and then when coaching, I really try to... especially with coaching, find a space when having conversations where I can really tune into my body. And I notice that if I'm still enough on the inside, like there's not a whole lot of mental garbage going on, and I'm not being too active with my body, that I can really intuitively allow things to happen, you know. So, for example, if if I'm working with a coworker and we're in a meeting and we're talking about something that's really stressful, you know, I can choose to either walk around the room or I can, you know, pound on my laptop while we're talking or, you know, fidget, or I can just try and be still and allow what I'm hearing to my body to process that. And I think that intuitively you feel things and things come to you if you're open and you allow space to happen. And so I've been practicing that for quite some time, and it's really, really helpful. If you just allow space in your body and in your mind and your heart, then things kind of come naturally, and you just know what the answer is or what the advice is or what question to ask. But if you don't allow that space to occur, then you kind of block it. You're putting up shields and you're blocking your intuition.
Wow. Can you write that down? That was awesome. That's just so great. Let me just preface by saying that I'm going on and off mute because they're banging around me. They're still trying to fix the outside of my house, but I have to be here to be on the call. So I apologize for any interruptions there. But Cynthia, I love that you brought in sort of the somatic sense of intuition and letting your body sort of be your guide. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who would like to share next?
I will. It's Nikki.
Thanks, Nikki.
I have an awesome win, and it doesn't have to do with intuition. Maybe it does. I don't know if I was complaining to you guys or to another group of friends, but I kind of have been very lazy about getting a yoga job. I, you know, was teaching 7 days a week before I moved here, and it's been really hard for me to, like, just go out and put myself out there. Well, I decided on Monday, my birthday was Tuesday, so I decided on Monday I'm going to go take a class. My husband's in town. I said, can I please go take a class? And it wasn't a yoga class. It was at a gym. I bought a Groupon. It was a bender bar class. I take the class. It was awesome. I run into the teacher in the bathroom, and I say, your class was so awesome. My body's going to just, I'm going to be so sore tomorrow. And she goes, oh, yeah, are you a dancer? And I said, no, I was a long time ago, but now I teach yoga. And she goes, you teach yoga? And I go, yeah, I just moved here from California. And she goes, do you want to teach a class? And I'm like, I would love to. And she's like, right now? And I'm like, what? And so a teacher didn't show up. I step in. I teach the class. Isn't that crazy? I teach the class. She takes it. I have no idea what I'm going to teach. It's this hot. I don't even teach hot yoga. Like, it's this hot. It's like 100 degrees in the room. I haven't taught in like 7 months. I teach this class. I'm going to have to personally say it was a kick butt class. After, she comes up to me. She goes, that class was amazing. All the students came up. Oh, my gosh, where do you teach? We want to take your class. And she's like, where are you teaching? And I'm like, I'm not teaching. I just been very lazy about it. And she's like, come with me right now. She walks me to the front desk, introduced me to the manager. She asked me if I'll teach next week for the same person I was subbing for. And then the woman who taught this Bender Bar class, she is the creator of the Bender Bar method. Her name's Leslie Mills. And she basically says to me, I want you to take my training and I want you to present my method and all this stuff, like literally like crazy. And I just felt at that moment, like, I didn't get teary, but I really felt like God was taking care of me. And we say it all the time, like, don't freak out. The universe is going to take care of you. But I really felt like the universe was taking care of me. I felt like, once again, opportunity was just placed in my lap, and all I had to do was take it. And I don't think it's intuition necessarily, maybe to talk to her, but just being open and believing, I think that, you know, I really didn't feel like, I knew I would teach. I never felt like, oh, my gosh, I'm never going to teach again. I felt like it would come into my life again, and it did, and it was an incredible win. And that's it.
Congratulations, Nikki.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is awesome. Another phenomenal story. I'm so proud of you guys. These are great shares, and, you know, it's about preparation meeting opportunity. You know, when things happen, and divine intervention plays a huge role, but you had to be in that space. You had to be open, and wow, I'm so happy for you, And happy
Thank
birthday.
Thank you. Me too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who's next? I don't think Mel's talking, so Minx, you ready?
Yep. Sure.
Cool. Thank you.
Those are great stories, everyone. I just was smiling while I listened to you. So my win, you know, when I was thinking about wins, Jenny, I thought, like, that call was really a win for me too. Like, I had a great time, like, coaching Jenny, and it just felt like the, you know, all our sessions of training with you, Sasha, and kind of the learning that we've gone on, like, turning into a real moment of change and insight, and it was just so great. So that, I felt like, is also a win on my end, to be able to support Jenny in her process. Intuition. Well, this is, you know, I feel like I use my intuition in everything. But if I think about, you know, across the last little while, for some reason students have been asking me a lot at the end of class, like, do I come with a plan to teach? And, you know, I generally don't. And, you know, what I do at the start of every class is, you know, when I enter the studio or even in the parking lot, I'm, you know, looking to around, and I see students and I watch them walk and I see their demeanor, and I interact with them in the bathroom, and then I'll start interacting with them in the studio and in the studio space. And at the beginning I have a check-in, and, you know, it's like all that time I feel like I'm using my intuition to read what's going on. And then, you know, the first 10 to 15 minutes of class as well, and then I start to create what I'm going to teach out of that, based on the principles in education and experience that I have. And one of the phrases I was taught was educate your intuition. And so I feel like, you know, I've done that fairly consistently. You know, it leads to things like, this was great this week, after class like that, you know, several people come up with completely different situations saying, I felt like that class was just for me. It felt like it was just for me. And then I even got, like, the, you know, one of the best compliments that I've had in a while. I just liked how concise it was. And they said, I heard, overheard the students talking, and they said, Minx is better than Advil. yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so I posted on Facebook, and then I got, Minx is better than wine, Minx is better than Xanax, Minx is better.
Oh, my goodness.
And I feel like that's birth out of, you know, teaching from an intuitive place. And, yeah, that's my intuition story.
That, and then just adding to the group, but Mel, I wish you could speak, but I know that you can't, but these stories today are amazing, and I love the phrase, educate your intuition. I love that. And I'm, go ahead.
I was going to say that's from Gary.
Gary. Well, it sounds like something Gary would say.
Yep.
Definitely. but to speak to Minx and Jenny, to take the time over a weekend when I know you both and all of you on the call are super busy juggling everything else that you have going on in your life, to take the time and energy to put into practice coaching, and then really feeling the shift, like the last 9 weeks of our work together is really coming to fruition, not only makes me feel incredibly empowered, but also just so proud of you guys for engaging in this process so fully. So thank you all for sharing. Okay, we're going to move in to our agenda. If you guys could turn to page 57, responding intuitively. And Jenny, if you don't mind, would you read that page for us out loud?
Yes. Hold on. Find it. Intuition is a knowing not formulated from data or intellectual processes, a knowing without knowing why, While listening informs all other skills in coaching, coaching is not just about the questions, answers, and solutions. It is also a pattern of intuitive response. The coach responds to the client, and some of this response can be intuitive. For example, you may have a flashing image, a word or a name that doesn't necessarily make sense, or a gut feeling. Trust it. With intuition, you receive an impression before you know what to think. Decide if it would be useful to share with your client. If you do share it, express it with a different balance than other kinds of observations. For example, I have a hunch that I'd like to share with you to see if it's useful for us to consider. I have the sense that. I wonder if. Intuition is most accessible when the coach is fully grounded and present, centered in order to have full access to a full range of experience and states of mind. See supporting documents for calibrating intuition. Is there any more? Is that right?
Sorry, hello? I was on mute. Yes, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Jenny. I'd like to start by just opening up the conversation to how this serves you sort of as a parallel in yoga, whether as a student or mostly as a teacher, how you use your intuition to serve your students. And we'll take just a couple, maybe two or three shares. How has your intuition served you when you're in the studio? And there were already a couple of examples, but I'd like to hear a couple more after Jenny had just read sort of the definition of intuition.
Yeah, it's, God, there's so many, it's hard to pick.
Go with your gut. Like, I'm almost asking you guys to distill it down to a specific individual. Like, when you've had to work one-on-one, not necessarily in a private, but using your intuition to guide a student somewhere.
I have one.
In an asana.
Okay.
Hang on. I love that you guys want to share. Yay. But you have the floor first, so go ahead and share, and then Jenny, you can go next.
You know, since Mel is on mute, I want to share one about a student and her, because Mel is very, very intuitive. And, you know, one of the students came up to me after, a class, and she said, you know, I've been dealing with my hips a lot, and I went up to Melanie after class, and I was, you know, sort of saying that they were bothering me, and Mel just looked at me and said, well, you know, the hips hold a lot of grief, and she says, and I just started sobbing, and my hips have just felt great ever since.
Oh, wow. Great example. And that is so true, right?
So,
all about the hips and our deep.
Go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say, that's the one that comes to mind, you know, I don't know, about intuition in students.
Awesome. Jenny, what would you like to share?
I had a class maybe a year ago. There was a woman who was just having a really hard time in class. She was agitated, and she was clearly troubled. And I put her into, like, maybe 10 minutes before Shavasana. She kept coming up and down. I put her into a prone Shavasana with some support, like, underneath her, kind of her abdomen and ribs, and so her pelvis was going, moving down, and had her head, like, supported on her hands or a blanket or something, and she stayed there for, like, 20 minutes, and even after Shavasana, she stayed there, and afterwards she came up, and she said, you know, she hadn't moved, and she was just so, she was like, thank you, I just didn't know what was wrong with me. She just needed to, like, turn her face down and stop moving. And it was really risky, because I would never normally do something like that, but it was just something told me that she just needs to not be facing up and not be standing up. And so that was really great to see.
It's such a beautiful use of your intuition, and also reading energy. I think she shared that reading energy of the room to guide your flow. And Jenny, just having a sense of the energy and what your student needed in that moment. And it's just an incredible gift. It's an incredible quality to tap into, and it's going to serve all of you in going forward with your coaching. Thanks. Anybody else want to share? We can take one more.
I'll tell one more. I have a story where I took over a class for another teacher, and she kind of warned me, and she goes, I'm warning you because the teacher before me warned me about this one student, and I just want you to prepare. She won't listen to anything you say, and, you know, you're going to constantly have to tell her, you know, not to do that, and she'll just randomly start, you know. And so as the class started, I immediately knew what they were talking about. She would completely do, like, whatever she wanted, but it almost got disruptive, whereas she was, like, moving blocks and, like, it would fly out of her hand and person, and it was pretty disruptive. Because, I a lot of times think teachers exaggerate, but they were not. And I just went over to her, and I felt like, this is almost an act. I just really felt like this is not, you know, she's almost, you know, she needs attention. And I kind of just said, you know, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong? Why aren't you doing what we're doing? And she's like, well, I have an injury and no one ever helped me. So I have to, you know, I think it was a shoulder. I hurt my shoulder and no one ever adjusts my shoulder. And so I have to do it myself. And I said, okay, well, why is your shoulder hurting in Warrior 2? Why do you have to, you know, get a block and have it by your foot? And she was just doing really funky things, and she just felt like, and she just said, honestly, she was, I don't know, I feel like I just need to get the teacher's attention so that they'll give me some attention. And I said, I promise you, I will give you attention, and I will come over and I will ask you something. So every time I went around, and I would say, how's this pose? Can I help your shoulder in this pose? And she seriously mellowed out, like, within, I would say, like, 15 minutes of the class, she mellowed out, and then every class after that, more and more and more and more and more. And I just felt like this woman cannot be this horrific. Like, there has to be a reason. And so that was, I felt like it was intuition saying, like, you just need to ask her what's up. Like, why is she doing this? Instead of acting like she doesn't exist. So that was it.
Mm. Again, another powerful example, and I would encourage you, with all the learning that you're doing in this course, to work with taking out the why and throwing in a powerful question in the same example, in the same situation, okay? And it's just a habit, because as we learned, a why can sometimes put another person on the defense. I'm not saying it did in this situation, but I'm just encouraging you to continue honing the tools that you're learning with asking powerful questions. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. All right, so that last paragraph talking about when the coach is fully grounded and present, that is when they're able to have full access to their intuition. And we do this at the beginning of our class weekly. I'm almost positive, I can say with certainty, that you guys do it in your classes, whether as teachers or as students. And if someone could speak to what that does for them and why it's so important for the coach to be grounded and centered to be able to fully collaborate and use their intuition with their client.
I'm always ready to talk. I don't want to be a hog, though.
Please share.
Because if you're not grounded and paying attention, you can't be helpful. I mean, it's just Right. I mean, it's you can't access your intuition if you're not really focusing on what you're doing and listening to who's talking. And I'm noticing that when I'm not paying attention to someone, I miss the entire. I actually have been starting to just say, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry. I just went somewhere else for a second. Can you go back about a minute? And they laugh, you know, because I'm realizing more and more, heck, I'm just missing my whole life because I'm not paying attention. So that is, that's just one. It just seems like you can't help anybody if you're somewhere else in your head.
Absolutely. And one of the first things that we discussed early on in our time together was how powerful a tool listening is, right? We have two ears and one mouth for a reason. So to be able to fully listen to your client, and when you're in that present state of mind, you're going to be able to access your intuition and then bring to the conversation something that you may, as you so aptly put it, Jenny, may miss. And remember, it's not about us. We arrive to the call fully engaged and ready to put the client's agenda first. It's not about, and we all do it, we have our difficult moments, we have our challenging days, but when the time comes to get up and teach a class, or the time comes that we have to get on the call and be the best coach that we can be for our clients, we have to set aside our personal agenda. And I know a lot of times that can be challenging. I know for me when I do that, sometimes when I come back, the stuff that I was so anxiety-ridden about has diminished because I've taken the focus off of that and I've put the energy on my client or my students. And things have shifted for me in a different way. So that's great. Thank you for sharing. And so I just want to check in with you guys, the paragraph previous to that, where you would check in with your client by using some of this language that's in quotes. I have a hunch that I'd like to share with you to see if it's useful for us to consider. I have a sense that I wonder if. Are all of you comfortable with that language and when it would be appropriate to say that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay. We are going to now move on to page 257, Calibrating Intuition. And I would love for Minx to please read the second paragraph only. Intuition can flow.
Okay. Intuition can flow when you don't make assumptions, when you're very present and centered. It's related to flow, like the athlete totally immersed in a procedural body memory of performance. If athletes have to think about how to perform even for a nanosecond, it takes them to a different part of their brains and out of flow. It interferes with performance. Intuition is an energy field of flow to be attuned to internally, which can then be applied to empathetically resonate with others. Do you want me to keep reading?
Sorry, there's that mute button again. No, that's perfect. And I'd love for you to share an experience of this as it parallels to yoga.
To practice or teach?
Either. You know what? Maybe practicing so you're in your body, you're in that somatic experience and you're flowing as opposed to guiding.
Well, you know, it starts with flow, intuition flows when you don't make assumptions and are present and centered. So I found in the years of my practice, if I, you know, am very open during practice and, you know, staying in the moment, you can be very surprised by what flows into the practice, like an insight on a, you know, on a very deep level, or your body does something that you had assumed previously that it couldn't do, but just because you relax and enter into that moment, suddenly something else is accessed. Okay, I feel like this a lot with, like, balances, inversion, that kind of thing, or even really, you know, deeper stuff where you think, oh, the limit's here, but then you find out it's not.
Right, and you're almost giving yourself permission to go deeper, to just trust that your body has this amazing wisdom which will guide you where you need to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that trust factor and trusting your intuition on both ends, as a student and a teacher of yoga, and as a coach and a client in this mentor coaching program. And Cynthia, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you've got some experience of coaching, and I'd love for you to speak to this piece a little bit from the coaching end, if you can.
Okay, so trying to switch gears here. So how can you allow intuition to flow when you're coaching? Is that your question?
Absolutely correct.
Right. So I think when you're having a conversation with a coachee, you know, that they always throw out certain keywords that kind of give you little hints about what they're feeling or what they're thinking without them knowing that's what they are doing. And so it's kind of like a puzzle almost. You kind of hear those words jump out at you. And then, you know, while you're listening deeply, you just kind of map those words to what they're saying. And you just get a feeling with what they're communicating. And then you can go a little bit deeper. You can grab those few words that kind of jump out at you and hang on to them and say, well, you know, I hear you saying this, but what about this? And I feel like maybe we need to, you know, discuss this. And so it's really using what they say during the session, but listening to those few words that kind of, you know, make your eyes open up a little bit wider, or, you know, make your body shift, that there's really something there that needs to be opened.
Great. So, again, tapping into your own somatic experience, I'm curious how you handle when you hear those words that catch your attention. Do you wait, in your experience, do you wait until the client has finished sharing what they want to share, or do you interrupt and just check in with them at that moment with some of this language that we were talking about on the other page?
I always wait unless the coachee is like in, you know, sometimes a coachee will get upset, you know, and they'll say something. But like 95% of the time I will wait and allow them to say what they need to say, and then I'll repeat it. And then I'll repeat it exactly what they said and ask if I can go a little deeper there. And then I'll rephrase it so that they can kind of hear what they've said. And then they'll say, oh, I really didn't know I felt that way. Or, you know, I really didn't know I was doing this. And so it allows the coachee to kind of think about, you know, really what they're feeling and what they're saying and connect the two.
That's so fantastic. That's great. And just so the rest of you know, there is no formula for, you know, when to bring this to their attention. If you are the type of person that you take notes, especially if you're doing it by phone, which I'm a note taker, just to remind yourself what those words are that you want to talk about. So you can remember and mirror back to them clearly. And we can practice it. We do it every week when we do it in our coaching sessions. But if you have a sense that they're going on and on and on and there's really something that you want to talk about, feel free to interrupt and use your intuition and use some of this language to get them to think in a different way, just like Cynthia gave a great example of. Any questions on that? Great. So I'd like to take you through a brief exercise. And it's designed to illustrate one way to program and calibrate intuition. So unless you're driving, please find a comfortable seat. Close your eyes. Just take a few deep inhales and exhales. Then to yourself, I'd like you to say the word yes 8 times. And when you've completed saying yes to yourself, I'd like for you to think yes to yourself 8 times. Then finally, feel the word yes in your body 8 times. Then I'd like for you to think about something that is a definite yes for you. And when you think about this definite yes, be aware of what the somatic experience is like. Okay, we're going to shift gears. So just take a full breath in and a full breath out to make this brief transition. And we're going to do the same thing with the word no. So I'd like for you to think no to yourself 8 times. Feel the word no to yourself 8 times. Then please think about something that you associate with a definite no. And with that definite no, what is the somatic experience in your body? And then one more time, take a very full breath in. Open mouth, exhale. And slowly flutter your eyes open. And I'd love for someone to share what that experience was like for them doing that exercise.
I can. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I kind of like sort of guessed where we might be going in the exercise. And I was a little surprised at my body's and like the energetic response, like yes, produced a feeling of, you know, openness and interestingly a little resistance, because I, you know, have so many yeses in my life that produce a lot of work. And then saying no actually ended up feeling like a relief.
Interesting.
Yeah, which, you know, kind of like you would hear the, you know, hear the exercise and think it might be different, like openness and close, but it really didn't end up that way for me.
Right, almost like the opposite of what you might have an expectation around.
Yep.
Great. I love it. There's no attachment to what this looks like. It's just sharing your experience.
That was insightful.
Yay. Who else?
It's Cynthia. I'll share.
Thanks.
So with the yeses, I definitely, I almost got a little teary-eyed. I just felt, you know, a lot of joy, and I could feel my body changing, like my hips leveled out, my shoulder blades were kind of relaxing down, and I almost felt like I needed to get up and either, like, jump or take off running or something. It was interesting. And then with the no response, I could feel like my back started arching a little and my shoulders kind of came in and I was rounding and closing down, I guess. I didn't like that at all. So that's my reaction.
Cynthia, I'm just curious, do you have any, what is your background with somatic work? Because you speak to that so articulately.
I don't have any, actually.
Well, you're very intuitive that way, and it's a great tool to have to be able to allow your body to guide you. So thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just realizing, I was like, who is not on the call? Who am I missing? Anna called in, but I'm assuming she's gone because we haven't heard from her.
I'm actually here.
Anna, you're here?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness. You need to share with us, please. How about that experience for you?
It's interesting words, how powerful words are. So when you kept, like, when you told us to repeat the yes and think the yes, it's kind of, I felt like an elongation in my spine and kind of like an opening. And when I kept repeating the no, then I felt that my shoulders were kind of coming down and forward, and I was just slouching. So it's interesting. It was very interesting for me to see just from one word and what that word connects to. Yes connects to possibility, and then no, it's kind of like a restrictive. So it was good. It was eye-opening.
Thank you. And how could this exercise serve you in working with your clients?
Well, two things. First of all, the words that we choose as teachers, as mentors to use to inspire people. I think repeating something positive really has an impact on them. So it served me for this exercise, so I think I will be using that, reinforcing some words that are positive and uplifting. That's how I think. I think repeating it helps to reiterate and trust and believe what the word means. So I will be using that.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One more.
Hi, it's Jenny. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It's so interesting how simple these exercises are and how powerful they are. The yes part, I immediately started. Well, first of all, I was wondering, like, saying it and then thinking it, how that was different, because, but when I was when I was saying, was doing the yes part, I felt literally like from the center of my chest outward, like it opened and it went like horizontally. And then when the no came, it was like, it got really vertical and narrow. It was just such an extreme contrast.
Were you surprised by that?
It's not surprising. I think I was more surprised by how quickly it shifted, how quickly it changed. It just like was as soon as I said no, it just went and it just kind of shriveled. I was like, oh wow, it happened so fast. So that kind of was surprising.
And do you feel like being tapped into this energy will help you coaching your clients, like in terms of reading their energy and their body language? How would that serve you as a coach?
Are you meaning how would it help me be a coach or help me help them or either?
I was more specifically referring to reading the energy of your clients and using your intuition in that way.
Oh, I see. Well, I definitely have like one of my favorite things to do is study people's body language. So I think that intuitively when I see someone just by the way they stand or walk or talk to me, I can tell a lot about what's going on and what they're thinking. So if it's a face to face kind of thing, I think I can definitely use that and then use that intuition to maybe ask them what they're feeling. I don't know if that's a coaching, you know, if are you feeling there? I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. I have to think about that a little bit more. But body language, I think, tells us so much. But it's always challenging because we've always had these phone conversations with each other. So I don't know. I haven't tried it. But
how does this sound to you, or for any of you? Would you feel comfortable saying, where do you feel this in your body?
Totally.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what shifts for people when you take them out of their mind and into their body? What's been your experience? And anyone can answer.
Well, for me, I mean, I feel like I've been working with people in their bodies for so long. Like it's the only way that it's one of the main ways I contextualize everything. So I have no problem going there with people. I guess one of the harder things would be to address it without being, critical or make someone feel worse for feeling closed or shut down or something like that, but asking someone where they feel it in their body and then maybe saying, okay, if you're feeling, you know, your chest get tight, what might that be telling you or what do you think that's about or have you considered, I don't know. Yeah, I'm help.
That's great. No, those are great. That is in no way condescending or demeaning or asking your client to feel less than. It's the language that you put around and the care and the nurturing and the trust that you have in this relationship with your client that you feel confident being able, as yoga teachers especially, to bring in some of the energy work or the somatic experiences and really allow your clients to, maybe for the first time in their life, if they've never had any type of mindfulness practice, more so than even practicing asana, is for the first time it can be kind of scary, like checking in with their body. Oftentimes, you know, we're very disconnected. So I think it's a gift to be able to do that and to, in a very subtle, soft, slow way, bring that into your collaborative experience with your client. And I think that's awesome. Cool. So many wonderful shares today. Thank you, everyone. So we are getting ready for our Coach the Coach session. Before we start, who would like to name the five simple coaching model tools we use and we will be looking for.
Am I still on the call?
You're here.
Oh, okay. I thought I accidentally did something. Sorry.
Okay.
I can do it if no one else said yes.
Thank you. No one else said yes.
Okay.
But I know that everyone knows it.
Yeah. So specify the client's agenda. Look for useful intervention moments. Get a perspective shift. Frame the session and create a follow-up.
Great. And in addition to those five, we'll be listening for the intuitive pieces of the Coach the Coach session. So today, Nikki will be coaching Jenny, and Minx will be facilitating our feedback discussion. So if everyone but Nikki and Jenny will put yourselves on mute, ladies, watch your time, and have a great session.
Thank you.
Hi, Nikki, my love.
Hi, Jenny. It's been way too long. I'm sad that this is our first time talking since we've been in this course together. But how are you?
I'm really good. How are you? I'm so happy to hear about your teaching experience. That's great.
Thank you. I'm so happy to hear about all your teaching. Sounds intense.
Yeah, it's good. Miss you.
I miss you, too. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I'm feeling as a result of a lot of the stuff that's been going on and that I've been talking about with you guys for the last 10 weeks from the beginning of the time when I started mentioning that I was feeling a little insecure and I was having moments of doubt when I went go into the room and then had working on that, and then this whole last session that I had with Minx the other day, which was about essentially it's time for me to make a big change in my career and where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. Not that I'm going to do something different, but I need to expand a little bit more. I need to spread my wings, and because it's time. I've been with YogaWorks for, I've been teaching for YogaWorks 15 years, and I haven't gone anywhere else. So it's like mom and dad are like, I have to leave the family. And so I've been really scared and thinking about that and how to do that and what does that mean? And also, as a result of, just over a year in recovery and working 12 steps, it's really changed me a lot and made me grow and see how much yoga relates to that and how much this all relates, how it's all related and all connected. And one of the things I used to write and I haven't in a long time, because I've been in a little bit of a cave for the last year, just kind of going inside. And I feel like now I'm ready to kind of come out of the closet, I guess, sort of in a way, to sort of like use my yoga and my knowledge of, like, you know, it's happened in my family life, how I lost my father and my brother to suicide and my mother died, and just like a lot of grief and a lot of work around that, and to how I can integrate some of these things into a more I don't know how to use it all for in some way, because I'm feeling like I've just gone as far as I can go with what I'm doing now. And I don't really know what that looks like. I'm scared because there's such a taboo around, well, suicide is not something people really want to talk about. Like sobriety makes people feel, you know, awkward unless they know about it. It's just, there's a lot of, I guess that's my fear, is like, I don't want to reveal myself to my students. So that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out, what I want my next step to be and how I can integrate and be more authentic with all of that stuff, because that's what's really going on with me.
Well, Jenny, thanks for sharing all that. And I didn't know, obviously what the last year you've been up to, and well, probably the last 10 years, but I really want to thank you for sharing that with me. And I actually agree with you. I think you have so much potential that you've barely touched it, because I think you have been so careful with how much you share with other people. So I think it's exciting that you're ready to maybe tap into other life experiences that can help and change people, because I definitely think that you have it. So what I hear... Because of all this change that has kind of been going on in your life, you do feel like you want to integrate some more pieces into what you do every day. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, and then the other piece I heard was that you're ready to kind of spread your wings and maybe leave the Yoga Works home.
Not leave totally, but go other places as well, like just not
okay.
be, yeah.
Right. Right, so just not be solely Yoga Works, but also maybe find some new experiences.
Exactly.
Okay, that I think that's awesome. So what piece do you want to talk about today? What do you want to focus on? Do you want to focus on the, you know, finding something outside of Yoga Works, or do you want to focus on integrating other skill sets into your bag? Or is there something that you feel... Have I not touched on either of them? Is there something else that you want to talk about?
I think that I've been making steps toward other, you know, talking to other yoga teachers and going out into the world a little bit and going to other studios. And so I think I've kind of got that part, you know, it's in the works. And I think that more what I'm more interested in and would love your thoughts on is how to get out of my own way and be more like, I think about like Shawn Korn, for example, and how she's so fearless and just says, and she's just like a lion, you know? And I'm like, how can I mean, I'm fearless in a lot of ways, but also really, I think that what people think I am is not what I am. And you know me, like I'm so, people are like, Jenny's scary. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm really like this little girl, you know, but I think I have a demeanor of being like really,
yeah.
So of how to, maybe kind of like, and I think that this past year, it's like that's totally changed because of, you know, not being on like prescription medication anymore and not using that as like, you know, a way to escape from all of that. But also, yeah, so just how to feel okay with like revealing who I am and how with that, you know, I don't want to feel afraid to, is it appropriate for me to talk to yoga classes about like, I don't know, you know?
Jenny, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What are you afraid that people are going to think of you? Like, what is the fear in letting down that wall?
I guess it's just afraid of being, like, judged and, like, oh, well, you know, because I made this huge mistake of, and I know this is a sacred place and I can talk about anything here with you guys, but I made this huge mistake of telling Phil, like, that I was sober because he and I used to go out drinking together. And
yeah.
And I was like, that was so stupid. Like, everyone tells you in the beginning when you're, like, don't tell people, you know, and it's like, and I was like, I'm telling everybody because it's so amazing. And I was on this pink cloud. And then how appropriate is it for me to like be personal? Because one of the things that I've always been trying to balance and navigate is the personal, like a yoga teacher who's can reveal themselves in class and be real, but not like overly, you know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like where they're talking about their daily experience that no one cares about, just talk.
Right.
And you know, that just to kind of like walk that line of be who I am and have it be meaningful, hopefully, but not just because I want to hear myself speak and not because I want to be in the spotlight, you know? Do you understand the difference?
Yes, I definitely understand the difference. And I heard the one word judged, but I kind of want you to elaborate that more because I feel like I hear something I want you to hear it. So if you tell people, what happened with Phil? What happened that you wish you wouldn't have told him? What happened?
Oh, well, our relationship completely changed, and he stopped being as nice and generous to me. I mean, basically, it like completely, I feel like it totally kind of fucked up my career in a lot of ways with Yoga Works.
Really?
Like, it was really like, oh, you're not getting the things that you used to get. Maybe it was more, I feel like that was the end result, but it was subtle. You know, but, or, you know, he was like kind of like a father figure. And then people have their own issues come up when they find out that someone is sober. You know, people don't want to know about it if they like to drink, you know. So
yeah. Well, I think he needs your example, and I think you're absolutely right. I think you held up a big fat mirror for him. But I would ask you, like, do you really think that has affected your career that negatively? Because that's what I would ask you, is I maybe little things have shifted with that relationship, but on the whole, you know, do you really feel like coming out to Phil crashed your career?
No, and at the end of the day, like, I realize that it's all working out for the best, because it means that I have to cut the cord, and it's like, it wasn't a very authentic relationship anyway, and it was kind of like a, you know, I was using him, you know, and it was not a mean thing, but it wasn't real. It wasn't a real friendship, you know, or a real, like, a relationship based on respect at all. It was more like, hey, you know, but it wasn't inappropriate either. So, but it definitely, I feel like now I see it's good. Now I can see how the positive has come out. Like, okay, now I see the big picture, and I can't depend on this company, which has been my home and like my family and for so long. And, you know, I haven't worked on Jenny Arthur. I've worked on Yoga Works. You know, that's been it's like, I haven't worked on my own, and I hate this word, but it's what everybody uses, my own brand, because I've been so, like, you know, I was raised by socialist parents. So I've been like, let me work for the community and like help everybody else. And now I'm finding that, okay, it's time for me to, I'm not actually, the main reason is being because it's not satisfying me, and I need to find another way. Yeah, I just need to, it's time to grow.
Yeah. And what I hear, Jenny, as you're talking, what I hear is that you are starting to find your own voice. So you're not okay with just representing a brand anymore or their brand anymore. You're ready to find your own. So in clarifying our agenda, what I hear is you're trying to figure out what you want that voice to be. Yeah.
And what, exactly.
Do I want this voice to be like me, full on display? Do I want it to be slightly guarded? So let me ask you, what do you see as Jenny Arthur's brand? Like, let go of what anyone's going to think of you. Let go of the judgment, the fear. Who is Jenny Arthur, and what is your brand? Like, what do you want to represent?
Ooh, I got to think about that. I mean, I have a bunch of ideas, but I can't answer it that quickly. It's like yoga teacher who also has come out of the depths of like grief and despair and like addiction. And now, you know, she can relate. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
But,
let's make it less intense, because that's an intense question to ask you. Like, who are you in 1 minute? So let's turn down the volume, and who do you want to help? What does the person that you want to help look like? Who do they look like?
People like me who are afraid to express who they are, or people who are people who are scared to be seen. Is that very broad? It's pretty broad, but I'm not interested in being like a guru, you know. I just want to like be a support and a mentor, and I want to be of service, and in a way that, because it's actually in the end, when you ask that, like, who do you want to help? I'm like, me. because it really makes me feel so good. It makes me feel so full, you know, like I love it when I have that feeling of helping people and see how it's okay, you know. So I have to start writing again, because I'm a writer, and I just have been afraid to write about the things that I've experienced. So that's, I just need to start doing that, and I don't know how.
Okay, well, you don't know how to write?
I just don't even know how to begin. Like, I've, like, writing classes and this, I've done everything, and it's just not, I'm asking myself to do two. It's like that same thing. Like I just need to chunk it out. Like, okay, do this and do this. Do 2 minutes of that. Do 5 minutes of that a day.
Right.
Don't try to sit down and write your autobiography, memoir.
When you did write, when did you write? When you used to write?
A few years ago, I wrote like little bloggy pieces about my family and about teaching, and I loved it. And then as soon as I stopped using, because it was like my whole big life change. And so now that it's been over a year, it's like, okay, it's time again.
Now, when did you have time in your day to do it?
I usually do it in the mornings.
Okay.
So, ladies, we'll need to wrap up in about a minute.
Okay,
Jenny, I feel like I have not helped you narrow down a clear agenda at all, but I think we've asked some big questions. So what I would like you to do is, what is a question that you feel needs to be answered in order for you to move on? Because I asked you a lot of them. Are there any questions that you feel like need to be answered before you continue on this journey of how you're going to present yourself?
Do I have questions? No. I mean, I think what I can I just say what I think I really need? And I actually, because this is the kind of person that I am, I need someone to tell me, you know, like give me tasks. Like I'm task oriented. Like you're gonna go do this, and I'm like, okay, I'll go do it. You know, and it's almost like I need, like Jenny needs a big Jenny to tell little Jenny, like just go do that, go clean up your room. You know, so maybe if you can make some suggestions, and we can talk about it later and resume.
Oh, but Jenny, so many suggestions, but that would not be the point of life coaching because I have already written down a to-do list for you.
Okay, great.
But this is what I want to ask you. Okay, if you were doing this to me, because ultimately this is supposed to be coming from you. If I was asking you the same exact question, and I was saying, Jenny, I need to figure out what my brand is, what's something you would tell me to do? What was something that you would tell me to do in order to do it? Because I want to end this call with at least one task for you that I can follow up with, right? So the first thing that you would tell me to do if I was giving you the same spiel. Like if I was saying, I'm ready to start my brand. I want to start writing again. I'm ready to like kind of hash this out. What's the first thing you would tell me to do?
Spend 5 minutes every morning doing something like brainstorming, writing things down, starting to keep lists, like just start putting it down on paper.
I think that's awesome. I think that would be incredible. I think if you could take 5 minutes every morning to just put your pen to paper. I mean, you want to write again. Put your pen on the paper. So can you, Jenny, commit to me that this week you're going to spend 5 minutes every morning. If you miss the morning, then at your lunch break, go to La Pond Quotidienne and sit down and put your pen on the paper for 5 minutes. Can you commit to that for the next,
yes,
you know, 7 days till next Thursday, 5 minutes every day?
Yes.
Good, because I'm going to check up on you.
I know you will.
All right, so for 5 minutes every day, we're committing that you're going to put your pen to paper. And maybe the first day.
Ladies,
again,
we're going to have to close it right there.
Okay.
I know we're not at the very end, but you're there. So let's have everyone else come off mute. I apologize for interrupting, but these sessions are so short, and I want to bring in the other piece and give you guys some important feedback. So, Minx, would you facilitate that process, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, it's so sweet to, like, hear your guys' interaction and feel the history of that and the friendliness, and Nikki's so enthusiastic. very enthusiastic energy, you know, and the desire that, you know, I feel coming from Nikki to support Jenny is strong. And so within the coaching model and that, I kind of wonder if maybe Nikki hijacked the agenda just a little bit.
I knew that would be my issue.
So at the beginning, there was a nice, you know, interaction, and Jenny got to tell her story and what was on her mind. And, you know, Nikki did a great job of summarizing, well, it sounds like there's, you know, the issue of this and this and this, and which specific thing do you want to talk about? And Jenny clearly said, I want to know how to get out of my own way. I want to be fearless like Sean Corn. I want to be like a lion, but not scary. And so to me, that was the agenda that Jenny wanted to talk about, is how to get out of her own way. And it turned into, to me, it seemed to turn into a how to brand consultation was a little bit how it went, which, you know, there are some great questions on how to develop the brand and how to get clear on that. But it almost seemed like Jenny wasn't really ready to talk about that and really wanted to talk about this other piece of, you know, how do I stop inhibiting myself and become authentic and get out there and just get that first piece of getting over my fear versus, like, you know, what am I going to put out there? So, you know, that seemed to be, I don't know if I'm seeing that correctly, but that would be what was going on as I looked at it. And even at the end, you know, when Nikki asked her, well, what is a question, you know, what would you, you know, want to ask? And she was, you know, Jenny ended up saying, well, you know, I want to know how to help me. So she sort of restated the same initial agenda. And I think, you know, it was nice to see, like, at the end they finally got to, like, something that was really forced from Jenny, like, what do you think would help you? Well, I think, you know, I think I need to break this down into chunks, she said. I need to chunk it. There was an idea really sourced from Jenny coming from her, and it was nice to see Nikki leap on that and, well, you know, when can you do that? And, you know, we came up with in the morning. There is that tendency, I think, in, you know, Nikki to produce a lot of ideas and lay those on to Jenny instead of get Jenny to come up with the plan. Even right here, kind of slipped in, like, well, if you can't do it in the morning, then you can do it at lunch. Which is, you know, a wonderful suggestion, but maybe, you know, lunch wouldn't be as good as dinner or 3 a.m. for Jenny. Who knows? It would be nice to find out what Jenny would think. If I miss it in the morning, would I want to do it at another time? Would I just prefer to wait till the next day? What would I do if I miss it in the morning? It doesn't matter. So that was kind of the heart of my observations on this one.
It's such a wonderful example of listening, Minx. So I thank you for really fully being present and engaged. It's a tremendous insights. Cynthia, what are your thoughts?
I have similar thoughts. I think there was a lot of great energy into the conversation. It seems that Jenny and Nikki have similar energy, and they were feeding off of each other's energy, which makes for a great conversation. I do think that Nikki kind of slipped in and out of consulting versus coaching, which is so easy to do, especially if you know the person intimately that you're coaching. It's just real easy to do. I think that the agenda, the framework, was never really clear to me. And the conversation, because it had so much energy, you know, I felt like it was just hopping all over the place, like the agenda was hopping, and could never really get my finger on exactly what the agenda was. But Nikki is a very good driver, so she, you know, she knew that she had an end result. Oh, I want to get to this certain point. I want, you know, for you to walk away with something. I want, you know, for you to commit to something. So she really drove that in at the end, and that was nice. How she was very, we're gonna done. We're out of time, and I'm talking really fast, but we're going to get it done. So she was a great cheerleader, and that was nice. But it was a great call, a great session.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you, Cynthia. Anna, what are your thoughts?
I see what the rest of the girls saw so far, but I absolutely loved it. I thought that Jenny was really sharing very passionately and very fast and with high energy, and then the response and the control and that Nikki saw, it was kind of really impressive to me, because it's very interesting when somebody is really passionate about what they're sharing, and sometimes emotions and pace can pick up. So I really admire the control that Nikki took at times, and she kind of stopped her and said, okay, so let me rephrase this. So, I mean, it's not as easy when somebody's passionate to be present. So I really enjoyed this call. That was very smart, quick, and to the point for me.
Thank you, Anna. Thanks for sharing your honest insights there. Jenny, how did this feel for you? I'm assuming Mel's off the call. Okay. Jenny, how did this feel for you?
I just adore it so much, and I feel like we are so much alike. I was like, oh, that's what I do. So it was such an interesting.
Jenny, you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. Can you hear me? Is that better? I can use my other phone. Is that better? I think I might be even better. Hold on. Is that better?
It is. Thank you.
Okay. I feel like Nikki and I are kind of like sisters in that way. So while I could see how I love how excited she was for me and how enthusiastic and how much she wanted to help, it was just so endearing, and it was just like, I just love this person. I could also see how, because of our relationship, that it's hard to coach someone that you know, and how that to kind of create a different framework would be challenging. And it was a really, really good lesson for me to watch that, because I think I do the same thing. But I did also really appreciate how she was aware of what she was doing, like her self-awareness of like, oh, wait, I want to tell you what to do. I want to tell you what to do, but you need to, needs to come from you. It needs to come from you. And this is what we're, you know, so it's like I saw her observing, but it was like out of excitement. So it didn't bother me or didn't make me feel overwhelmed. So, yeah, I loved it.
Great. Thank you, Jenny. And Nikki, what are your thoughts?
I really appreciate the feedback from everyone, and I think Minx is really right in that what I think the main issue was that Jenny wants to get out of her own way, and I think what the piece where I felt a little stuck is, and I wrote this down because I felt like this is where I wanted to focus, was I wrote the word judged, because I guess where I felt a little stuck and then felt like, well, okay, let's find a different agenda, was in that, you know, when I was saying to her, what are you afraid of? You know what I mean? I was trying to say, like, what are you afraid of? What is keeping you from being that authentic person? Because that is what I agree with Minson, is that I felt like, you know, she's trying to figure out how to get her own way, and I wanted her to see that fear piece. And again, because I do know Jenny, and I feel like I do know what she does, it was hard for me not to just say it. And so I was trying really hard to kind of go back to the questions and, you know, and stick to the agenda. And I couldn't, and I kept saying, like, well, I don't think we've clarified the agenda. So I can see the mistakes I made. I guess it's just in practice that you get better at kind of, you know, because, I mean, that's a really big thing. What is your biggest fear? Like, what are you afraid of? Like, what's keeping you from living the life you want to live? I mean, those are some really big questions. It's not like I want to make a DVD, you know? So it was a pretty heavy, I think, conversation, which I love to have with Jenny anytime. But it was very hard for me to keep my own agenda out of it. And so I can see that as well.
Right. And you all have made, including yourself, Nikki, some really valid points. And we're all building this muscle of mentor coaching, right? And this feedback piece is what I've shared with you in the past is just brilliant. about this program. And you all are such a unique group because many of you know each other intimately. And so it is super, super challenging to sort of separate the personal piece and really drop into wearing that hat of a mentor coach when you're working with your clients. And so I recognize that. And, you know, I thought, again, it's just, I'm really just impressed with the ways that you guys are integrating these principles. It's not about being perfect, but it's about learning from each other and where you can grow. And I think Minx's insights were brilliant. And there was a tiny bit of hijacking going on, and not to take that in a negative way, but just to understand, oh, maybe that's what I do, that's what happens when I do this. So it's developing a greater sense of yourself as a coach and recognizing the things in you that may come off as hijacking someone else's agenda. And when I hear you say, you know, I wanted her to do this and I wanted her to do that and I felt like we were stuck, I would like for you to step away from the picture and put it all on Jenny and allow her to come up with the ideas, the concepts, the awareness by you using the tools that you've learned, asking powerful questions, clarifying the agenda, mirroring back, using your intuition. I think the greatest question you asked in that coaching session, the most powerful, what is the fear? And you're right. It was a lot that she came to the table with. And it's our job as coaches to break it down, to distill it into baby tiny pieces so that we can get Jenny in action. And at the end, you did put a little frame around it, and Jenny gave you what she needed. She needs structure. She needs accountability. That's why she's in this coaching relationship. And so, again, just listening for those pieces that invite you to use the skills that you're learning. And it was an amazing session. Not without learning, right? It's not about perfection. It's about growing. And 15 minutes is not a lot of time.
I know. I'm sorry I gave you so much to deal with, Nikki.
No. There are no sorries. It is what it is, and we're all learning from it. So once again, we are at the end of our time. So let me just briefly go over the homework. Please read pages 185 through 194. Work on distilling your UVS. And then I'd like for you to share with five people in your circle, your warm circle of influence, your UB statement. Okay? And then either later today, probably later today, I will send you an email with some information that Dr. Dave wants you to read over in preparation for our 12th week. And as always, if I can be a support to you, please let me know. And just so appreciate your time and your energy. You guys are doing so well, making so much progress, and I'm just so happy that you're enjoying the journey. So thanks. Have a great week.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.